This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
7:14, St. Patrick's Day 2025, Tommy Tucker. And it's going to be a beautiful day, a couple of different celebrations. It sucks that the parade got canceled on Saturday, but man, it's going to be perfect today. And they got the Irish Channel stuff going on and got a fundraiser for St. Michael's Special School. A lot of different things going on. Jeff Palermo joins us now. WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network news director. Happy St. Patrick's Day, Jeff.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to you, Tommy.
Although I'm guessing you're probably more of a St. Joseph's Day guy.
Yes, I would be more of a St. Joseph's Day guy. You're
but
right.
But you can be Irish today, and then yep. I'll be Italian on Wednesday. It'll work out.
Yes, yeah. We all get a day.
Let's talk about LSU football and spring practice and what Brian Kelly decided to do.
Yeah, there will not be a spring game this year. They had scheduled a spring game on April 12th. Now, we're starting to see this across the country. One of the reasons given by some of the coaches is that when you have a spring game, it allows other programs to really, because most of these spring games are now televised, it allows opponents to take a look at your second stringers and third stringers and then try to pull those guys off your, you know, then allows them to then try to recruit those guys off your team to their team. Now, Brian Kelly said that's not necessarily the case on why he's changing things up. So what LSU is going to do is they're just going to have an open practice inside Tiger Stadium. And Coach Brian Kelly says it'll actually give them more time to work on special teams. It will allow them to work more on goal line situations, red zone situations, third down situations, instead of just having a game where you can't necessarily you can't work on goal line situation unless it actually occurs during the game. So this will allow them to really do some things that you get 15 practices during the spring. And Coach Kelly said the other thing is sometimes they would use that 14th practice to kind of get ready on how they would warm up and all that stuff for the 15th for the spring game. So he wants to maximize the use of his 15 spring practices and doesn't really want to pigeonhole himself to a spring game in that final game. The other thing that LSU is doing on that April 12th is once the practice is over, fans will then have the opportunity to get autographs from the players, from the coaches. You know, back in the day, maybe I guess 10, 12, 15 years ago, LSU would have a fan day in August where fans would get an opportunity to bring posters and you can get autographs from the players. Well, that went away. So they're bringing it back here. And I think that's a good thing, Tommy, because in this day of the transfer portal and guys coming and going, I think it's sometimes hard for fans to get a connection with some of the players on the team. And this will allow them to at least have that opportunity. And I know for kids and stuff, it will be be cool if you can go out there and get Garrett Nussmeier's autograph or something like that, Caden Durham's autograph. So I think that's a good move from LSU's part.
Have you ever seen when they do that at Alabama and the people that are waiting and then rush on the field?
Yeah. Well, Alabama's had, you know, especially when Nick Saban had it rocking and rolling. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would sell out their spring game. But it seems like
when it came time to meet the players and and Alabama people that were there running on the field to meet the people.
Yeah, well, I also look at it, too, as, you know, in college athletics, which is becoming more professional. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all know about when the Saints hold the training camp, and what's great about training camps in the NFL, it gives fans access that they obviously you just don't get, right? You get to go watch the practice, you get to hang out after the practice, players come by, autograph, and those are things that I think are special, especially when you have a family and you can't afford to go to the game. But you can take your kids to the training camp practice and get autographs afterwards. And so LSU's at least one day bringing that opportunity for LSU fans in April.
I think we're talking past each other here, and I don't think you're grasping my point, which is to ridicule the fans of Alabama.
I don't know. I'm paying attention to what LSU's right. doing, Tommy.
I'm just saying, if you've seen footage of it, it'll raise your eyebrows.
Okay. All right.
Let's talk about LSU baseball now and beginning SEC play.
Well, it was a great start for the LSU Tigers. They really handled Missouri, and they should. Missouri is probably going to finish in last place in the 16-team conference. It was an opportunity right off the bat to get off to a great start, and they did that. Offensively, the Tigers were fantastic, I thought. They constantly put pressure on Missouri's pitching staff, scoring 29 runs. They only hit 4 home runs. That's been a theme so far throughout this season, that LSU doesn't necessarily need to play long ball in order to win games. I know a couple Fridays ago, they hit 6 home runs in one game, but this is a team that can just score runs in a variety of ways. They get on base, and 1 through 9 through the lineup, every guy is a problem. You know, even Michael Braswell, who has really struggled this season, had a big game on Saturday night. He drove in 3 runs, and 2 of his runs that he drove in were on squeeze plays. So, again, I think that's a really good sign for LSU offensively. If you're looking for something to keep monitoring and watching is your 2 of your starters could not get past the 4th inning, Anthony Ianson and Chase Shores. But there's guys out of the bullpen that Coach Jay Johnson could really rely on. And Zach Collin on Friday and Sunday was good on both days. Connor Ware was good on Saturday and Sunday. And Anthony Ianson was terrific Saturday night, holding a 1-run lead for 2 1/3 innings. So there's options, and that's something that, you know, even in the 2023 season, LSU didn't have a lot of options once he got past Paul Skeens, Ty Floyd, and a few other guys. Now, some guys developed as the season went along, but early on in the season here, Jay Johnson has options out of the bullpen. So if an Ianson Shores or even a Kate Anderson on a Friday only can give you, you know, 5 innings or whatever, there's guys in the bullpen that they can go to. Now, will those guys out of the bullpen get tired by the end of the year because they're being used so much? We'll wait and see. But I still think LSU's in a really good spot with its pitching staff.
I know you're worried about LSU or concerned about LSU and focusing on LSU as you should. But considering Jordan Fiegel and our general manager, Dan Barron, are both graduates of the University of Alabama, I never pass on an opportunity to take a shot at them.
Okay.
7:21, we'll take a break, talk women's basketball at LSU when we come back. Right now, time for traffic on WWL.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
/7:27 Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with our good friend Jeff Palermo, WWL.com, columnist, Louisiana Network News Director. You'll find a lot of stuff that he's written and posted at WWL.com that'll be interesting reading. Let's talk, Jeff, about those Lady Tigers and where they landed in the LSU basket in the NCAA tournament.
This is the fourth season for Coach Kim Mulkey at LSU, and for the fourth consecutive season, LSU is a 3 seed. So, of course, in the NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament, the top 4 seeds in each region have the opportunity to host the first 2 rounds, so LSU will be home this weekend. They will face 14-seeded San Diego State, who won the Mountain West Championship, the Mountain West Tournament Championship, to automatically qualify for the NCAA Tournament, so LSU will spend time breaking down San Diego State. If LSU wins that game, they would play the winner of Florida State and George Mason on Monday. By the way, that LSU-San Diego State game tip off at 9:15 inside the PMAC on Saturday night. 9:15 p.m.
For TV, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I know. But really the big story for LSU is its health, because what we saw in the SEC tournament, Flaw J. Johnson was held out because of a shin injury, and then Anisha Morrow, one of their top players, a double-double machine, she re-aggravated a foot injury. And it's, they need Michaela Williams, they need Flaw J. Johnson, and they need Anisha Morrow to be healthy. And if those three are healthy, those three are as good as any other threesome on any other team in NCAA women's college basketball. And so, really, it depends on them. And, you know, Coach Kim Mulkey said both of them, they're good to go. They're still in walking boots, but that's more of a precaution. And she thinks by Saturday night, those two will be ready to go, and hopefully they can stay healthy through the tournament.
Jeff, I try to keep track of this and remember, but I can't. Tell me how far the women's basketball team went last year.
They got all the way to the Elite Eight, and they lost to Iowa.
That's right. Now, men's basketball declined the NIT invitation. I always thought the NIT was an interesting tournament because it used to be, you could say, we're number 65 in the nation. Now I think you can say we're number, what, 69?
Yes, you could say you're number 69. LSU said it had injuries, didn't have enough players, but really the real reason is it's just time to move on to the next season. LSU finished 3-15. In SEC play, lost in the opening round of the SEC tournament. Right now, Matt McMahon and the staff need to focus in on getting better players in. The NCAA or the transfer portal is opening here, I think, in about another week to 10 days. And so the focus with an increased NIL budget, somewhere around $5 million is what's being reported. try to use that money and bring better players to Baton Rouge and yeah, see if that doesn't result in wins and an NCAA tournament berth next year.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just see the clock. In terms of NIL money, how's that divvied up between programs?
Well, it's really up to how much a program can raise. And men's basketball has been lagging at LSU. And the only way for them to compete is they got to get more money. And there's a lot more here because you got revenue sharing starting and all that. But we'll have to talk about it some other time, Tommy.
All right, Jeff. Thank you. Appreciate it as always. Have a great week and a really happy St. Joseph's Day. We'll take a break. We come back. We'll talk to Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union, as we always do. We'll take a look at the week ahead on Wall Street with Mark Rosa. Monday Morning Markets with Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. Time now, WWL First News. All right, 7:46, 14 till 8, St. Patrick's Day 2025, joined by Mark O. Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. Top of the morning to you, Mark.
And good morning to you, sir.
What is Rosa? Is that Italian? Hispanic?
Spain.
Spain?
Spain. Yes.
Barcelona?
Yes. That'd be nice.
I didn't know if it was nice. Or not. I just wanted to say Barcelona. Tell me what's going on. We talked about the wearing of the green. What about the saving of the green and the making of the green? What's going on here with Wall Street and the stock market and everything?
Tom, you know, we touched on inflation news that was released last week for February, but it's worth just spending a few seconds on that again this morning. So, and the Fed meets this week. I'll get to them in just a second. But we had better than expected on the consumer price index and the producer price index, better than expected numbers that came out. And they lowered the year-over-year numbers that the Fed is watching so closely. Who cares? Well,
Mark, let me jump in for a second, please, if I may, because you're talking about a CPI and a PPI, right?
Yes.
Can you just explain to people what those are if they don't know?
Yes, and I will.
This is like you're like in surgery. You're in surgery. You're a doctor. You know, you're scalpel this, that, the other. We don't know. We're unconscious.
Okay. Well, if the Federal Reserve, the nation's central bank, is seeing that inflation is going up, there's a likelihood that they'll raise interest rates to slow the economy down. That's monetary policy. That's their job. Mm-hmm. On the other side of that fence is if they're seeing that inflation is coming down, something that they spent a lot of time on over the past year and a half, they are more inclined to lower interest rates, something that the whole country would benefit from. Mm-hmm. So everybody's on Fed watch. We've said that over and over. So what's the deal? They're watching these inflation numbers. So from a producer price index on a wholesale level, it's what companies will see on raw materials, will see what products or services they're providing on a producer level. So last month, meaning January, the monthly report was at 0.4%. Well, that's a monthly report. You have to multiply it by 12 to get an annual number that makes more sense to any listener and or the Fed. So 4 times 12 is 4.8%, way too high. So we're waiting for the January numbers to come out. The expectation was 0.3. That would be good because it's down below what it was in January. It came in at zero. There was no change from the previous month, so that's fantastic news. Now, that's a 1 month. So what they're also doing is anybody that's publishing economic data, they're saying, well, what has it done? Average it out over the past year and see what the direction of inflation has been on an annual basis. Well, after that zero reading, the January 3.7% annual rate came down to 3.2. That's fantastic. What the Fed has been looking for, and they've repeatedly said, they wanted to start with the 2. So 3.2 is good news, down from 3.7, yes, but they're still very, very hawkish about where this is going and watch it very closely and comment every time after the numbers come out. So you segue over to the consumer price index. After prices are coming in on a wholesale level, it translates into what could happen on a consumer level. So consumer price index for January was high, just like the wholesale numbers, but it was 0.5. That's a 6% annual rate, way too high. What's going on? Let's wait to see what's going to happen next month. Comes out at the the expectation was 0.3. It comes out at 0.2. So that's excellent news. And the overall, the year-over-year for consumer price index has only risen by 2.8%. So that's within, that's what we're feeling as consumers. That's what the Fed is seeing as the number starts with the 2. That's what's making them happy. Now, what's not making them happy so far is all of the new administration. They had what's called, and I'll say this, I'll segue back to it. They had in December, what's called the dot plot. All of the people that get together at the Fed, it's called the FOMC, the Federal Open Market Committee. It's a group of Fed governors that sit on the Federal Reserve's board, plus some of the regional banks' presidents. They all get together periodically, pretty much every time they meet, which is 8 times a year. They discuss what's going on with the economy. What does each of the governors see in their areas of the country? And they do a dot plot. It's like throwing darts at the board, but a little bit more accurate than that. Each one of them allegedly submits, well, this is what I see, and somebody on the West Coast could have a different take on inflation and what the economy is doing than somebody on the East Coast. So they all get their answers up. They put those dot plots and see what the consensus is. Where do these Fed governors see inflation going? And where would they, what would they do with interest rates to combat that if inflation is going up too much? So that the last time it came out was late last year. So the Fed meets. They have a meeting this month, this week. They're going over numbers as they normally do, but news says they're going to release another dot plot, which the market is very much anticipating because they haven't seen one, an update, since 3 months ago. And it's like, what is the Fed thinking right now? Well, what is, like my boss at UNO, Dr. Lane, was saying, it was on the news this morning, that it's like all these tariffs are the issue. They're saying that they're watching the tariffs very closely. It's bound to increase inflation. It's making the Fed's work that much more difficult. And if what really needs to happen is if the tariffs are being used by the administration to kind of wake up some of the other governments that we're having these trade imbalances with, well, then maybe it might be short-lived and that'll come down. If it's dragging on, like Dr. Lane was saying, well, it's going to increase inflation because it's an increase in prices. So they were, in December, when that dot plot came out, the Fed was saying, well, we're looking at 2025 and maybe we'll have 4 interest rate reductions. This morning news had an update on that they're maybe looking at 2. So the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, they have gotten this Fed Watch on their website where anybody could, it's free and open to the public. You could go to the CME.org and look at their Fed predictions. Now these aren't just people flipping a coin. These are investment managers from around the country that are bringing in their thoughts about what the Fed is going to do from a monetary policy standpoint, more specifically about what they're going to do about rates. So this week, at 99% chance, there's no rate changes. The next meeting in May, same thing. It's about an 84% chance that are no rate changes. However, it starts to take a different tact when we get into June. There's a 70% chance of a rate decrease in June. That's what the market is feeling, when will be the most convenient time or the most appropriate time to lower rates amongst all that's going on in the economy, meaning tariffs included. And then there's another expected rate drop at the September meeting. So they have so far forecasted at least 2 rate drops. Everything's on the table. It could change overnight. They plot those predictions that anybody can see. And when those percentages are rising, now late last year, you and I were talking about, we looked at every Fed meeting for 2025, and there was no reasonable expectations for any rate changes. That was the wait and see time going into a new administration. So it's had a lot of impact, meaning the administration, what they're doing, it's had a lot of impact on what the market participants are seeing as Fed action this year. I, for one, would love the interest rates to not ratchet down a little bit to better the economy, because it will make borrowing costs a little bit.
But let me jump in real quick, Mark. I got to get this question in because if the interest rates come down, housing starts and building houses stimulate the economy like crazy, right? Yes. Because so many things are involved. Yes. Well, if that happens, isn't that going to lead to inflation and more spending?
Well, that's it. So what they have to watch to say, are we due for a rate decrease amongst everything else going on in the economy? Is the economy slowed sufficiently that if it sped up a little bit, it would still be within the Fed's window? So they're still looking at, and Tom, we've had decades when we enjoyed, one, no Fed influence at all. We weren't on Fed watch. The economy was doing wonderfully well. This is pre-COVID. Mm-hmm. And we had average 2.5% inflation going on. So that's what contributes to a really robust economy. And I think what the administration is adding on to this to help the economy is and help inflation. It's a mass reduction of a lot of regulatory constraints that are on business right now and regulation across many areas of the economy. They say and or predicting that that's going to bring inflation down. So there's a lot on the table and the market has been jittery. And it was down 300 points in pre-market, but that's improved. So right now, if it opened, it's down about 120. But still, the Dow is over 41,000. So as we've seen a lot of volatility, it's not been so bad. I think year-to-date, it's only down about 5%. So that's not that's within kind of a margin of error. But that's where we are this morning.
Got to run. Thank you, Mark. We'll talk to you Friday. Valuable information as always. Monday, we'll help you manage your money with Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. Time now, traffic, WWL.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.